Chapter 15. My mother sat gazing at the faded photograph. This revelation of Burke's brought memories of that day last winter when she and I had confronted Miss Georgia and learned the truth about Mom's birth. "So what do you think, Mom?" I asked as we sat at the 100-year-old table, our cups of untasted coffee in front of us. She didn't look up from the picture.
"About what?"
"About Burke's story and Jefferson Thorne," I said. "Are you going to tell Miss Georgia and take her the sewing machine and picture?" Slowly, Mom shook her head.
"I don't think so. She has her memories of a young Jeff Thorne, handsome, full of the joy of life. She never married, so she must have loved him very much."
"It doesn't sound like he ever married either," I said. She sighed and looked at me.
"No, he didn't, but if I tell Miss Georgia that he didn't die in the war and was living only a few miles from her and didn't contact her, it would hurt her all over again. She has come to terms with her past, and this would really be a shock."
I nodded. "We'll have to hide that picture. What are you going to do with the sewing machine?"
"I don't know. Miss Georgia probably wouldn't recognize it. Maybe she never saw it, but yes, I'll put the photograph away somewhere."
"So Burke knows that Jeff Thorne was your father? Is that why he brought those things to you?"
"Of course he does. So far as I know, nobody but Miss Carolina, Miss Georgia, you, and I are sure that Miss Georgia gave birth to me. It's not anything I'm ashamed of, but it's just kind of private. There'd be people who would condemn Miss Georgia or make some sort of remark if it was common knowledge, and I guess it's really nobody else's business," Mom said. "Burke figured it out, but he'd never say so."
"And how about you, Mom? Are you okay with all this information? Did Burke upset you terribly?" She shook her head and smiled.
"No, not really. I've wondered about my birth father ever since I knew that I was adopted. Now I know what he looked like and what happened to him. I sure wish I could have met him, but a chapter in my life has ended, so I can quit wondering about a lot of things. There's one thing, though, that I still wonder about."
She closed her eyes for a second, then continued.
"I just wish I knew for sure and certain, that Jeff meant to marry Miss Georgia. I hope he did, but those war years were turbulent times. People didn't always think clearly when they faced the prospect of a long separation. When Jeff left, did he really intend to marry her, or was the love all on her side?"
It would have been nice if Burke could have answered that question for us, but there was no proof that Jeff Thorne was an honorable man. I hoped he was, but his choice to live the life of an outlaw didn't sound honorable.
"I'm sure he meant to come back home and marry her," I told Mom. "He kept the sewing machine and their picture all these years. War changes people, you know, and what Burke told us about Jeff's reasons not to make himself known makes sense. If I put myself in Jeff's place, I might have done the same."
Shaking her head, Mom said,
"I choose to believe the best about both of my birth parents. I think Jeff must have been a good man. I hope he was."
Gathering our cups, I emptied them into the sink and poured fresh coffee. "Levi is a small town," I said, "and a stranger might think everyone here lives a peaceful, open life. But I believe we have as many secrets as we have trees. This quiet surface is deceptive."
Mom nodded as I set fresh coffee in front of her. "Yes, nobody would ever guess some of the things that have gone on. I was just thinking back to last winter and to the 8 of us, 6 of our closest friends, and Mama Grace's journal. That journal held some pretty tough things, secrets that hadn't seen the light of day for a long time. I guess you could call us the Circle of Silence, because I trust every one of those people. Miss Georgia and Miss Carolina, Burke, Grant, Pat, and Jackson, not to breathe a word that Mama wrote."
"I agree," I said, remembering the sadness I had felt as I read my grandmother's journal entry, describing a terrible first marriage and how it ended.
I could almost smell the wood smoke from the fireplace and see the snow, which had been deep on the ground at our house in town as I read Granny Grace's words. Again, I felt the support and empathy from each person gathered to hear the journal read. Our friends might be a circle of silence, but they were also a warm and supportive group. Not only had Granny Grace written about her first husband, Markham Caldfell, she had recounted a murder committed by Judge Jenkins, and the fact that not many people, including the sheriff, ever knew about it. Yes, Levi had its secrets, and it seemed that my own family had a share in them. Laying the picture aside, Mom gazed at me, her eyes bright with unshed tears. "You know, Darcy, until this past year I thought your heritage was a pretty good one. There never were better parents nor more sincere Christians than George and Grace Daniels. Now I've learned that I was born out of wedlock and my birth father was at one time a criminal. Besides that, Mama sure didn't show good sense when she married that Markham Caldfell fellow. Your natural great-grandfather, Judge Jenkins, killed a man and kept it a secret. At best, I'd say your heritage is a grave one." My mother's tears shook me to the core. One of Dad's many sayings was, "Sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying." So I did the only thing I could think of to break the aura of gloom that threatened to settle around us. I laughed. That worked. Eyes snapping, Mom said, "My goodness, Darcy, have you lost your senses? What under the sun is funny about all this?" Reaching across the table, I squeezed her hand. "Oh, Mom, think of it. Think of the people we've always looked up to, so respectable and virtuous, so God-fearing and honest. How'd they get that way? Maybe it's because they came through some tough times. Maybe it's because they strayed from the Lord and He brought them back and they've experienced God's grace firsthand. I'd say our family is a shining example of God's forgiveness. They sinned, they repented, and they held up their heads and kept going. They sure didn't knuckle under in shame and defeat. And we won't either. I'm pretty proud of them all." Slowly, Mom smiled. It was like sunshine breaking through clouds. Then she began to laugh, too. "You're right, Darcy, and I'll bet everybody has something they'd just as soon the world didn't know. I guess you've got a pretty good heritage after all. We're the gold standard of what the Lord can do. When thou walkest through the fire," she murmured. Maybe it was our way of dealing with Burke's sensational story. Maybe we had downed too much tea and coffee. Whatever the reason, we both laughed until we cried. Jethro slipped off his cushioned chair and, with a questioning glance at us, slunk into the living room. We laughed until the ceiling light flickered and caused us to glance out the window. It looked like another storm was coming.